10-2 OEL. Operator is K2VAR. Gordon just talked to me on the phone. He's at the Passaic County Fair. And he asked me if I could run the TechNet tonight. I've heard W2LCN. W2LCN, could I have your first name? I'll put you as the first check-in and see if you have any questions or comments for the net.
Hey, Noel. Thank you very much. This is W2LCN. No questions or comments for the evening. I'll be listening and kind of standing by here on the side, but thank you very much for picking up the TechNet and running with this. I know that Gordon is busy, so thank you, Noel, for picking this up, and I'll be here listening in on the side. W2LCN, back to K2VAR.
Thank you. And, of course, K2VAR is a call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Barra uses this repeater with the permission of Jesset Ridge Radio Club, which, by the way, Andy is down. He's about 100 miles from Mobile, Alabama. I went and visited him in March. He's a little lonely down there. He's the trustee of this repeater, I think, until he changes. Okay, who's, I didn't hear the other calls. Could I have any call for the W?
Good evening, Noel. This is W82UNP, Jim in Pearl River, with a quick question.
Okay, you said WB2UNP?
That's Whiskey Alpha 2, United Mexico Papa, with a quick question.
Okay. I forgot that I had a dual band run here, and it was a 444.1 identifying as you were talking. And you said your name was
Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Any other W's?
W2PRJ. Your first name is Pete. Papa W2Papa Romeo Juliet.
Pete, any questions or comments?
No, we'll be mostly just standing by listening for the maybe make a few comments every now and then. That's about it.
Okay, any other W's? Okay, Steve doubled with somebody. WI2W. Steve, and the station he doubled with?
W2PDQ, just a check-in, sir.
Thank you, Christopher Checkin. And any more W's?
W2JEK, Don, just listening.
Thank you, Don. Okay. Any other W's?
Noel, this is Steve, and I have a comment. I think I didn't tell you that.
Okay, comment for Steve. And any more W's? So go for A or N.
AC2GI, Rich. Question if Jim's on.
AC2GI?
That's correct. The name is Rich.
And he has a question. Okay. Any other A or N? K-A-K, B-K-C, K. Anything except a plain K.
Do it.
Okay, any plain K?
The question is just listening.
Sorry, I doubled with you. Come back again.
Tony, K2AMI. No comments, no questions, just listening.
Thank you, Tony. Any other K's?
K2EIR.
Dave, no questions or comments. Got HK2EIR, and you doubled with somebody who had no questions.
This is K2ZC. Dave, no questions or comments.
Thank you, Dave. Anybody else with a K?
KD2GAA. Name is Paul, just listening.
Okay, Carl, thank you for just listening. Anybody else who has checked in yet?
KB2UDM, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Anybody else who hasn't checked in?
WA2QBC, Bruce, no traffic.
Thank you, Bruce. Anybody else?
William, just listening tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry, but you didn't transmit your call. It's just your comments.
Sorry about that. I'll
just be listening.
I think what's happening is your transmitter's slow on the draw there, and you trigger it, and it doesn't transmit until after you send your call. Would you please just give it a slow 1-2 count, then say your call?
Certainly, sorry about that. I think you can hear me now. I just clicked it into the radio. I think it actually came out. KD2GGR.
I was grossly guilty of that in my younger days. So, because some of the repeaters were a little slow. Or my radio, not sure which. But I used to got in the habit of saying, this is. And by the time I said, this is, if I was on a repeater that was quick, okay, they heard that. And if I was on a repeater that was slow, they got my call without the this is. Okay, so far I've got Rich GI with a question and CWI2W with a comment. Was there anybody else that had a question or a comment that I missed?
I forgot to list the fact that I have a question.
Is that K2EIR?
It's correct. Kilowatt 2 Echo India Romeo Howie in Tarrytown.
Thank you, Howie. Boy, you come through really good for Tarrytown. Okay. High antenna or beam. Anybody else who has a comment or a question that I didn't list?
Yeah, Noel, this is Jim. I had a quick question I mentioned in the beginning. I'm not sure if you wrote it down.
WA2UNP?
Yes, sir.
Very quick question for you. You'll be the question. Is anybody else other than these four that has... okay, I got questions. K2EIR, KG2GI, and Jim, WA2UNP, and I got Steve with a comment, WI2W. Hey, we'll go with comments first. Steve, WI2W, you have the floor. This is KQVAR.
K2VAR, WI2W. Do you have a good copy on my audio? Am I running enough power now?
You are perfect.
Okay, good. Let's see, this past weekend, I had a family trip up to Massachusetts, and while I was there, I took a new antenna that I made. Made an NFED 40 meter and 20 meter antenna. The wire is 66 feet long. In the middle of the wire, at the 32 foot mark, I hung about a 2 foot piece of wire as a capacity tuning stub, and you use that to adjust the 20 meter sector of the low SWR. End of the antenna is an RF transformer made out of a type 43 material with turns on the primary and 27 turns on the secondary. And that gives you a 9 to 1 turns ratio and an information of 81 turns. So that takes 50 ohms from the transmitter side up to about 4,000 ohms, which is roughly the impedance at the end of a half wave antenna. And it's a little different than the 9 to 1 Hawaii emergency antennas that we did. And it's a full half-wave. Anyway, I made a bunch of contacts into Europe with it. Had a lot of fun sitting in the backyard of my my in-law's house. And then on Sunday afternoon, I participated in the New Jersey QRP Club's Skeeter Hunt. And I just operated 40 CW at 5 watts, and I made about 18 contacts in a little over 2 hours up and down the East Coast, 40 meter low. That was a lot of fun. So that was my radio escapades for the last week. Now with that, back to that, VARWITW.
Thank you, Steve. And of course, sometimes people come in at a different point, so is there anybody else who's checking in?
Yeah, this is WA2UNP. I have a quick question about the antenna.
WA2UNP, I'll put you as a question. And of course, wait a minute, Jim, you were first anyway, the question. So, you're going to be next to this question, because you're top of the list. Okay, since nobody else has a question for now, I have Jim, WA2UNP, top of the list. Jim, over to you, this is K2BR.
connected. NY9A.
Okay. WA2UNP, Jim. Please come now with your question.
Okay. New topic. I recently purchased an ICOM 7000. And it's a used rig in good condition, and I would like to protect the base plate on the detachable radio head. And I would like to cover it with a piece of clear plastic where I can clearly see the you know, the numbers underneath, but that would protect it and not damage it when I removed it. Does anyone have a suggestion as to what type of plastic I should put over that that would protect it without damaging it?
A2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, I can't address whether it would damage it or not, but I know my wife has bought at Staples a very light weight plastic laminate which you could put over posters or loose papers and whatever. So, you know, it's sticky glue on one side. It is a thin plastic. I would think that would give you some protection, but I don't know what happens when you remove it from the plastic, whether the adhesive would be a problem to remove or not. You know, maybe you can find some similar plastic to, you know, some plastic similar to the display to make an experiment with, both short-term and medium-term type of thing. You know, put it on for an hour, put it on for a week before you commit yourself. But that is a source of inexpensive laminate, which I'm sure would help protect it. But again, I can't tell you whether it would leave anything that would be a problem. K2EIR.
Okay, thanks, Howie. Yeah, I would be, I'm cautious, and I would rather not take the chance of doing the damage. I know that when you purchase the rig, usually it comes with a piece of plastic on it that that's designed for that, if you will. What I was really looking for was exactly the same material.
I know, and I don't know where to get that. I just thought, since nobody seemed to be responding quickly, that I'd throw this in for whatever it was worth. I can also tell you that I've made use of plastic picture frames. You know, you can, art stores like Michael's sell these plastic boxes in which you can put a picture and put it on your desk, and you might use that as sample plastic to put a laminate on. You know, I'm sure there are many other possibilities, but that's a very clear plastic, you know, because it's supposed to display pictures. And it might simulate your rig faceplate, and again, that might give you some confidence, but I can't give you any guarantees. And another suggestion would be to contact ICOM and see if they have any info for you. K2EIR.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Howie, I'm inclined to send an email to ICOM and see if they have a suggestion or something I could even purchase. Thanks.
Okay. Jim, I got a quick question. I'm pretty sure you can buy things for like the iPad and a lot of cell phones that sticks on with the electrostatic. Therefore, there's no question when you remove it. Have you considered something like that?
Yeah, that's true. My iPhone, I did buy a piece of plastic. I could probably get something like that and cut that up and use it. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, no clue. Is there anything else that any further explorations of this topic? Anybody else have any opinions for Jim?
No, that's good. Thank you.
The YouTube BRJ.
Go ahead, DJ.
Yes, thanks. Scott sells a, or Scott sells a clear film that you put over your windows in the wintertime, and it's a shrink wrap, and it's supposed to shrink down at 105 degrees, which would not be too warm.
for your base plate, keep it at a distance there. You can put it over the base of your radio, nice and tight, and then hit it with a blow dryer, and that'll shrink it down where it'll form around the edges of the of your rig, the four corners there. And I did that once a long time ago on an old Kenwood radio, and it seemed to hold pretty good. It lasted for about a year. And then I had to, you know, sort of soon after a while, the corners started to peel away, and I had to do it all over again, but I never did. But it was the Scott's shrink wrap for your windows for the winter time. I put it on nice and tight and then shrink it down. W2PRJ, you know, with the blow dryer.
Okay. Thanks. Consider. You need a slightly larger piece of material. Tablets use the same type of plastic protective cover as cell phones do. You get them on eBay, WA2QBC. Yeah, I'm inclined to go with that because that's made to cover a screen that you need to see through without with the proper reflection. So I'm inclined to go with something like that and cut it to size. Yeah, cut it to size before you take off the protective backing. Sounds like a good idea. Thanks.
Oregon. If you want to try the shrink wrap type of thing, I was just realizing that I get shrink for my windows as extra insulation in the wintertime, and I forgot the brand. I think it's called Frost King, but it is available in Home Depot, and you would be getting a very large quantity of it, even in the smallest package, but you could do the whole face plate, and I know it doesn't have adhesive on either side. It just shrinks to you know, the surface. So as Pete said, you can shrink it around the whole face plate or rig. K2EIR.
Yeah, I've been sold on the plastic material for the iPad, and since it's made just for this purpose.
And the iPad one is electrostatic, so you don't have to take your radio apart to fit it and shrink wrap it. Okay, let's go on to the next person on the list is Rich, AG2GI. Over to you, Rich, for your question. This is K2BR.
K2BAR. Hi. I didn't know if Jim was on the air or... Steve, you did mention that maybe you can answer the question. I'm looking to build one of those Hawaiian antennas, and Jim had sent out a picture of his along with the toroid number and wire gauges that are different than the instructions for the Hawaiian antenna. Do you know what wire gauge and toroid to use, Steve?
What power level are you interested in, Rich?
100 watts.
Well, the T106 will work fine. That's, you know, an inch and a little bit. Or the next one up, which is, I think, T130. Either of those would work fine. If you need one, I've got one.
Actually, we're going to build a bunch of them. And the instructions say 22 gauge, but Jim, I think, said he used 14 on a T200.
Well, 14 on a T200 will give you much higher power than 100 watts. And you would have trouble winding 14 gauge on one of these small 1-inch toroids. You know, you could use 20 gauge, it would work fine. So maybe 18 at the most, but 20 gauge would be plenty for 100 watts.
Okay, and my last question, standard copper wire, or do I have to get enameled wire?
Well, the Hawaii group just uses common hookup wire. I built one with just common hookup wire from Radio Shack. So, you know, at 100 watts, things aren't going to get too hot. So I really don't have to let it.
All right, thank you very much. That's it. Back to that.
How many are you going to build, Rich?
Probably four.
I think I've got some 106 cores. Let me take a look. I'll be back.
Okay. Back to net.
K2VIR.
Hey, go ahead, Howie.
I like to always pay a little attention to communication. I hope everyone understands common hookup wire means insulated wire. You know, typical hookup wire is insulated. I also want to mention that I believe Jim's details were posted to the ComTech group. So if you want to do exactly what he did, you can find the stuff he had there. And I'm not sure he individually sent me some stuff, but that seemed to be the same thing he sent to the ComTech group. But I can find those emails if the station wants. You can send an email to me at mycall@arrl.net. Let me just make sure my call's plain kilowatt 2 echo in the Romeo.
Touch. KU2BAR, AC2GI.
Okay. Howie just finished. He's going to be with the next question. And the person who just called me, please go ahead with your request.
Noel, I was just giving it back to the group.
WI2W?
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, Rich, I have four cores in my hand. I can meet you after the net if you want.
All right, I'll catch up with you either after the net on the air or sometime over the weekend.
Well, if you want, I can drive down the street and meet you in Hilden.
Yeah, not tonight. Okay, I'll catch up to you. Thank you very much, Steve. Back to net.
Thank you. Howie, next K2EIR. But one quick request. If you happen to know the URL of the ComSpec group, I'd like to go take a look. Would you please email it to me? My call is the link. Anyways, it's Howie Stern. Howie, you had a question. K2EIR, this is K2BAR.
Roger, Noel. Sometimes I feel bad. I'm so high output on this that I feel like I'm monopolizing it. Okay, guys. The other night there was a webinar yesterday, which I missed. A webinar on that House of Representatives bill regarding antennas. You know, the equivalent of PRP1. I forgot the exact name of this thing, but everyone by now ought to be aware of it. Since I'm in a condo with a homeowners association and our condo rules prohibit antennas, I am keenly interested in this, but I was unable to watch the webinar last night, and I don't know if there's anything particularly new, but if anyone did get into the internet and participate in this webinar regarding that antenna bill, and if there's anything to update, you know, other than the general stuff that's been circulating, I'd like to hear it. So that was sort of my question. Did anyone participate in the webinar, and is there any new information? K2EIR.
To Howie. I, too, am following that closely because I'm buying property in a 55-plus community on September 19th. And they prohibit all antennas. In fact, they prohibited TV antennas, dish antennas, and everything else because the person who made the community wanted to sell TV services, but evidently the local ordinances overrode that, and you're allowed to have dish or DirecTV or anything like that, or cable. Well. Anyways, does anybody have any comments on that particular subject, the possible overthrowing of covenants by congressional fiat directing the FCC to make it possible said that the restrictions and these restricted communities will be, so they'll have to give us reasonable access to some antennas. All I want is a wire antenna, and even that's prohibited.
JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm just reading the latest QST just came today, and it says, see the digital edition of QST for a special video message from ARRL K. Craigie, 3KN, concerning HR 4969. Now, I think what they wanted to do, I heard this before on the, I think it was ARRL's site. You want, rather than you try to write a letter to your congressman about this, they're going to send your letter to via the ARRL. That way they will all get together and they will all be sent at one time to the congressman. And if you do it individually, they have to check each letter for anthrax and razor blades and all the nonsense that some people must send them. So having it go through the ARRL, get a head start right through to the people. So that's why I think that's what they're asking. They're looking for congressmen to sponsor these things too. So hopefully they will do that. One thing I think, you're allowed a TV antenna up to 12 feet over your roof, Noel. I think that would happen when some of this was going on with the people and putting up TV dishes, etc. So that might be of interest to you. Back on that, W2JK.
Broadband. I said I have a TV antenna I'd be interested in putting up. It's made by Force 12, I think. Anybody else have any comments on the subject?
2AMI with a comment. Well, you keep coming through on 430 to 440, so watch where you're transmitting. Barra, at the next meeting, which I think will be September the 7th, we'll be having a discussion by a fellow in from Morristown who just got approval from the planning board of Morristown to put up a tower and an antenna, and he covered many of the antenna laws that were used to defend him, defend the applicant. So it's a chance to talk to somebody who has gone through antenna regulations and defeated the planning board. Well, I know somebody else, but I won't mention his name.
Thank you. I'm suffering a minor technical problem. What was happening is when I am in the 2 meter band, the 955 band, I'm getting all sorts of noise, so I'm having difficulty listening to the 955 repeater. When I switch the band, so it would transmit on 444.1, then I get perfect reception on the 2 meter side. I got to remember to switch it back if I talk. So that's what's going on, Howie. I'm trying to, I have no idea what's going on. This is an older Yaesu radio, really old. I bought it, it's an FT47RH. And I got to put a little more of a modern radio in here so I don't have that problem. I got a couple 208Hs, I put one of them in here. Okay, anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything on this? Okay, the noise is gone now. I think it might have been local. Anyways, my question that reason I was calling up Gordon, got drafted into the net control duties. I have a 25-foot aluminum egg that's 8-foot tall, 8-foot wide, 25-foot long. And it seemed to me, if I was going to operate a radio antenna off that thing, there are several possibilities. And I didn't think that putting a hamstick at one end would probably be my first choice. But you're allowed to go up to 12 feet, no problem. Maybe four. Most bridges are 14 feet, some a little bit lower. This thing is an Airstream trailer. And I was wondering if anybody had any suggestions for what I should use to quickly set up or take down when I'm in a trailer park. When I say quickly, a minute or two. Anybody have any suggestions of what kind of antenna system I should use on that?
WITW.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm assuming you want multiple bands, so I would put up one of those 33-foot fiberglass poles with inverted V fed by a ladder line to Mallet, a switchable 4-to-1, 1-to-1, and then set into an automatic antenna tuner.
Yeah, if I put it up near the center, that would be quite reasonable. The big problem with most of these parking spots when you're into one of these places is you get maybe 30 feet wide, if you're lucky, by 55, 60 feet long. So usually go vertical. Usually you can't shoot up into the trees. And that would be really quick. The only problem is that the angle on the inverted V would be probably a little bit tight, because it's supposed to be greater than 90 degrees, and I suspect I might be closer to about 30 degrees. Back to you, Steve. WI2W?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Noel. Did you ask me a question? I got interrupted there for a second.
Sure. As you know, most trailer parking sites are rather narrow, 20, 30 feet maybe. If you're not lucky, it's 20 feet. And 25 feet. And usually you have some lanes, sometimes 60, 70 feet. I'm thinking that the inverted V, it's my understanding that you're supposed to have at least a 90 degree angle from the two legs. And I suspect that I'd be less than that. What happens if the angle would be like 30 degrees? Would it still work okay, or is it going to be compromised too much?
Well, if your tuner can feed power into it, it will work. The pattern will be open things, but you'll be able to make contacts with it. There's other things you can do with that setup as well, like make an inverted L out of it. Then you need to spread some radials down to work with it. You know, set the pole up on one end of your parking space, and up the pole 33 feet, and then went out with another as far as you can get to a tree or something. That's another way. The object is just to get some wire in here. The more wire, the better. Find a way for your tuner to load it. If you can get RF into it, it'll radiate.
So my question was, I have this big aluminum egg. Is there any way I can use that as a counterpoise for an antenna? For instance, put the 33-foot pole up on one of each end, run the antenna up one side, and then have the inverted L go over to the other end of the trailer.
Well, certainly you could work against that aluminum shell as your counterpoise, get the antenna off in the other direction. Once you get it, we'll go to a parking lot, play around and try it. I've got lots of wire and tuners and stuff. So to try it, what do you think?
Sounds like fun. I already have it. It said an RV place being refurbished. It was new in 1975. The inside is really decent. The floor needs a little going over. The guy's got to check all the appliances and, you know, tanks and put all new lighting all the way around and fix a couple rust spots. But basically the underside is really good because it has a aluminum pan under the entire underbody of the trailer, which would give me a good connection to ground, capacity contraction to ground, much better than your normal vehicle because you've got that big aluminum sheet. And these things are all riveted together, so I imagine it's going to be electrically a very good unit body. One of the things I was thinking about was, something like a hamstick or something in the middle of the thing. But, or a screwdriver antenna. But the question comes up. You want to be able to pull into a parking spot. You know, the normal setup and carry around takes down a lot of time. So you don't want to spend more than a couple minutes putting the antenna up. And, of course, you don't want ground radios laying on the ground that you could trip over or somebody could object to. Back to you, Steve, WI2W. This is K2B Air.
Well, there's lots of possibilities. This past weekend, I have a coil that I bought on the internet. It's about a foot long, about an inch and a half in diameter. It's got a bunch of little coils on have a triple mag mount with a 4-foot whip coming out the top, and I have a little chart that I made up, and I can work this past weekend I took a 12-foot collapsible MFJ mast, or not mast, an antenna. So it's about 3.5 feet long. And then you extend it out, and it's 12 feet long. I put that in place of the 4-foot whip I normally have on there. And I drove up to the top of the hill, and I tuned it up on 75 meters and had a nice conversation with Barra buddies down here on 75 meters on Sunday morning. And it worked very, very well. I had S8, S9 signals. Five copies from everybody that was on the net on Sunday morning. So there's lots of things to try. You know, once you get the thing out of the shop, give me a call and we'll go one Saturday and have a play. I've got a 33-foot mast, all kinds of wires and stuff, and we'll figure something out that'll work for you. Sound like a plan?
Sure. I got a couple of Jackite fiberglass poles. I think they're 28-foot. I was thinking of having the welder mount something there so that I could just set them in a socket. Okay. Anybody else have any topics for the net? Don't want to monopolize the time.
W2JEK with a comment on your antenna.
Go ahead, Scott.
With another comment.
And Howie.
JEK with Kurt.
Yeah, Don, go ahead first.
Yeah, okay, Noel, very good. Yeah, at one time I used to do a lunch hour operation. I'd get in the car, run down to the park in Hackensack by the river. At the time I had a 2-meter antenna on mounted as a homebrew thing, mounted in the door frame of the car. It had a sheet of aluminum that was attached to a screw in the the upper part of the inside of the door frame of the car, and that was the ground for my 2-meter antenna, which was coax fed, of course. And what I would do, I would bring my 8-kit HW8 down, and I would clip on to that a 33-foot piece of wire, and I'd just string it out straight about 4 feet above the ground out to a tree, bush or whatever. And with that, on 40 meters, I was working into Canada, Michigan, and Virginia, just a couple watts output from this HW8 that I had. So it's what they call the, like an endless antenna. However, the one half would be the chassis of your body of your vehicle, all that capacity to the ground. And my car was a Buick Skylark at the time. So sure that just doing something like that would give you something to get you on the air. And not high, is not really high, but then if you wanted to, you could work it again and put something else up, a couple fiberglass poles to make it a more of a vertical, and maybe pull off the top of the vertical to a tree or something. You could maybe do that. It all depends on how much time you want to spend with stuff. Back to you, W2JK.
Thank you. I was trying to remain independent of my surroundings because sometimes I get stuck out in basically a flat field. Howie, K2AIR, this is K2BR.
Okay, Noel. Couple of things. First of all, for speed, to make quick disconnects, I think you could get a set for about $12. Look in one of the catalogs like AES. If you're not familiar with a quick disconnect, it takes that standard thread that hamsticks have, 3/24, whatever it is, and you screw the hamstick into the top piece of the quick disconnect, and you put the bottom, which has two nipples on it, which interlock with the top piece. You put that into your mount. So that's one thing, a quick disconnect. For using the 33-foot fiberglass pole, I did a number of experiments. I've been able to get some PVC pipe, a small section of PVC pipe, to go around the fiberglass pole. That is, you're able to, if you get the electrical type of PVC, it has a flare at one end, and I've been able to get the poles to go through, and then whatever they have on their base on the fiberglass pole usually gets caught at the end of the flare, so you have a way of retaining it. And I also wrap the bottom of the fiberglass where it's overlapping PVC with some of that material that they put on monitors. You know, it's just a little thin sheet of foam. But there are many, many ways of insulating that to make sure you don't damage the fiberglass. So here you have a fiberglass pole with a little PVC pipe at the end. You can connect that to and mate that to another PVC pipe, okay? Now, if you make a steel pipe or something else, like you said, welded to the side of the camper, you can slip, and let's like just say it's 2 feet high, okay? You can slip a PVC pipe that's even longer over the 2 foot steel pipe, and you can plug in the 33 foot fiberglass pole with that PVC sleeve at the bottom end. You know, that could be like 1 foot. I suggest you take a look at my QRZ page, which has a number of photographs. You know, K2EIR. You know, just look up the QRZ listing. You'll see I have something which is a tire mount. I drive my tire over that mount, and that was made from an electric fan base, and it does have a steel pipe. I also have the rabbit ears 40-meter antenna, that probably. That has a wingspan of something less than 40 feet that might fit in your...
Repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
You get up to the 40-meter part. We heard about the flare. Keep going.
Okay, I have a 40-meter rabbit ears antenna, I call it, because it's a homebrew mount that goes up like rabbit ears on a TV, sort of a... Well, it's actually probably closer to a 90-degree angle, but it's going up in a positive V, not an inverted V, and it's about 20 feet on a side, 21 feet on a side, each one of those fiberglass poles. But if you want to look at the footprint on the ground, it's going to be less than the 20 feet on each side. So the maximum wingspan it could have would be 40 feet, but it might fit in a 30-foot lot. You have to divide by 1.41 or whatever. So you might take a look at those pictures on my QRZ page under my call, K2EIR.
A question and a comment.
Go ahead, question and comment.
Howie, can you flip 75 or 80 meters?
Something just pulsed and doubled with you, so your transmission had holes. What was that, about 75 or 80 meters? You want to know if I can get on there?
Yeah, can you load that, your homebrew rabbit ears up on 75 or 80?
I doubt it. I haven't tried. It's because it's shortened with ladder line so that it's linear loaded. I don't think it would behave well. On the other hand, I'm thinking of putting on the same structure an off-center fed dipole for 20 meters and up, and using two different balance and one feed line. So I might be able to operate 40 meters to 10 or even 6 with one feed line and no antenna tuna. So you give up something. There are other ways, of course, of getting on 75. I generally use verticals for my 75s in a loading coil.
Okay, that's what I did this weekend on 75 with a 12-foot vertical with a loading coil. My car as the counterpoise, and it worked amazingly well. I was quite surprised. Noel, you might check out a project called the NFJ2289. It's a portable dipole. It's called the Big Ears, and it runs 6 meters to 40 meters. Some of the guys on the KX3 mailing list swear by that antenna. They say it's very efficient, works very well, and it meets your criteria for easy setup and teardown. So NFJ2289, give that a look. So there you go, WIQW.
Okay. On the wrong repeater again.
Okay, anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything for tonight?
PRJ.
Go ahead, PRJ.
Okay, thank you much there, Noel. I just moved into New Milford about a month ago. All I have is my Austin suburban antenna with a 2 meter, 6 meter, 220, 440 UHF, VHF. That's it. I have no HF antenna. I just purchased a wire to go up from into two trees about 100 feet apart. And I'm wondering, does anybody know anybody who's a tree climber? Or a tree climb company that tree climbing company that they have dealt with to put wires up into trees. That's what I'm looking for. W2PRJ, you got Pete over here on this end.
Well, Pete, I can answer that one. About 10 members of BERA, Bergen Amateur Radio Association, have built the pneumatic launchers. My friend Tony, K2MI, was over at my house 2 years ago and decided that we were going to put something, he's going to put it over the tree branch in front of the house. And he was sitting on my front stoop and he was launching it up there. And he forgot and didn't leave the fishing reel run free. So he was shooting a wood dowel with a 16 penny nail for weight in it and a piece of ribbon as a tail, and it went across the tree, went across the tree on the other side of the street, went across the house on the other side of the street, and the landscapers found it there about 250 feet away, about a month later, and we presented it to Tony at with appropriate bows at the Christmas party. I just recently bought it for 65 pound compound bow for $10 at a townwide flea market upstate, and bought three fishing arrows. And I know HZB Richard uses his bow, and he normally puts up most of our wire antennas for field day with his bow. So there's no shortage of people who cheerfully launch an antenna over the tree. You don't need a tree climber. Just need the appropriate polyethylene rope so that when the tree moves, it doesn't wear the rope away. I tried clothesline 1 year, and it wore it away in about 3 weeks. The good quality polyethylene rope will stay up there for years and years, and I've done a much better job. Now, anybody else have any replies for this gentleman about suggestions about tree climbers?
Okay, I just purchased online the QSO King. It's got a small box that you hook up the wire. I got the 117-foot version. The thing is, how would you get the box up into the tree? That's my question there. Okay, and maybe you guys know something that I don't. W2CRJ.
When you say box, is it fairly heavy? Because, of course, what we normally do is shoot the fishing line across the tree, then we use the fishing line to bring a heavier line across, and then we use the heavier line to go the other way and pull our rope up there. And you could also use the line to pull a box up the tree and just hold it there. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes, well, it's the QSO King. It's a small box. It's less than 4 inches or so in squared. It's not very big, but, or doesn't really, you know, which you screw the coax into, you know. W2PRJ. It's about, 4 inches squared by maybe 2 inches thick.
WA2, comment?
Go ahead, comment.
Pete, I think that, feed point, which is where the coax connects, should be against the house so that you have a short piece of coax, and at the end of the antenna with the nylon rope should go over the tree, but the feed point should be against your house.
I can't attach it to the house. It's going from in between two trees, about 93 feet apart. That's where I can, you know, they can't put anything, attach anything to the house there, so, he's afraid of, my son-in-law is afraid of lightning strikes and stuff like that, so, I used to have this antenna on the chimney at the old house. Now it's out in the backyard sitting up on top of the basketball pole where they got the basketball hoop. Well, that's where I got my pole attached to with this antenna. But the long wire, I can only go between two trees. About 40 feet up or so.
Sounds like you're going to need somebody to climb the tree, and you won't be able to service it, so you'll need to make sure that everything is very sealed.
Everything is well sealed, well made, and sealed, and everything else there, you know. I just got to get this 4 square inch by 2 inch box up into the tree where I can stretch the wire from one tree, it's a N-set antenna, and, you know, over to the other tree.
It looks very interesting. It's only $70 or so on eBay.
Yes, that's exactly the one that I'm talking about there, yes. Sorry, Jim, I think we doubled there. Yes, that's exactly the one I'm talking about, the $69 one or whatever it is on eBay there. That's you, Silk King. That's, you know, it's sitting right here in front of me. That's what I can put up. But I used to have a vertical at the old QTH, but I can't put that up anymore. They don't want that up, so they want something non-intrusive, so wire antennas is what I got.
No, it looks very interesting, but why couldn't you just use the rope to haul the box up there and hold it up there with one rope, and then on the other tree, shoot another one over and use it to hold the other end up?
I guess we could do that. I don't know. I'm disabled. I can't get out there and get up there and do that. I have a hard time going places, so, you know, I'm basically housebound. I can get out into the yard, but that's as far as I can go.
WA2UMP with another comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just happened to think you could make it kind of an L. Since you mentioned that you was slightly longer. You could put the feed point, it wouldn't have to be that high. You know what I mean? If you put the feed point, say, 20 foot up, and then the wire went up into the air as an L, it would become more serviceable. And then you could have the coax run through a garden hose, say, back to the house.
Yes, you know the coax and the garden hose routine. I wonder where you got that from. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I did that once before. That worked pretty good. Yeah, I could do that too. Does the feed point of the antenna, what's the minimum distance off the ground do you think that would be usable? W2BRJ.
Oh, I'm not sure. You know, it would have different characteristics. Depending on the height. You know, I imagine as you got closer to the ground, it starts to look more like a vertical. But I'm not sure exactly. I would put it as reasonably high as you could without making it unserviceable.
I think WICW is an expert in this. It's probably got the 9-1 ball in there and uses the coax as the other part of the antenna. And it's sort of like the Hawaiian Radio Club antenna, I suspect, because of the price. And no, I'm looking at QRZ, looking through and see their reviews. It's 4.9 out of 5. I'm sorry, I'm looking at EM.net. Anyways, it's got really good reviews, amazingly. Very interesting. And I still think that you could easily put the wires up. When I say easily, somebody would come over and do it for you. What I did is when the tree guys were here, each time the tree guys come here, I hand them a cordless drill and some pulleys that are on 3/8 eye bolts that are about 10 inch long. and they drill a hole in the tree and bolt it in, and of course, hanging down from the eye bolts are 100 feet of coax with the inside together, so it can't possibly come apart. And when they're done, I now have, at one time I had like 7 different antenna setups. I lost, unfortunately, 2 in the front tree when the tree had eaten by carpenter ants, and 1 in the other tree when the windstorm took the branch off. So, in the front, we've had to resort to shooting over, and we get pretty good results with that. I'm amazed, and I'm sure if I don't get a chance to do it, I'm sure somebody else would volunteer. A Bearer meets for coffee every Tuesday and Friday morning at Paramus Park Mall up in the food court. Officially, between 9 and 10, people are there as early as 7 in the morning. If the guards say anything, you just say, "I'm with the radio club." They welcome us. We're a fixture. We've been there for many years. You're welcome to come any Tuesday or Friday morning. That's tomorrow morning. Rams Park Mall, up in the mezzanine food court. And you could meet a bunch of the guys, and I'm sure somebody would volunteer. Okay, anybody else have any comments on this?
You say that's about 7 o'clock in the morning-ish, around that time?
Officially, it used to be 9 to 10. Then people are there at 8 o'clock. And I went in there one morning at 7 o'clock, and there was about 6 people there. But if you came at 8 o'clock, we used to come there because they had a special on coffee before 9 o'clock at the McDonald's that used to be there. Now we go to Dunkin' Donuts because McDonald's got put out of business by Dunkin' Donuts, basically. So, yes, every Tuesday and Friday morning, right at the top of the escalator. Of course, if you come too early, they don't have the escalator on. You have to take the elevator up.
Okay, well, thank you very much there, Jim. Yes, that I might be able to do. A friend of mine, K2PIC, John from Paramus, put up the QSO King. It has his QTH, and it works pretty good. So a couple of people I know bought it, and it works quite well. And I can't drive, but maybe he and I could come down there for coffee one morning. Okay, sounds pretty good there. Hey, I'll charge up a couple of oxygen tanks, and yeah, you should be able to get down there. Okay, we thank you much. W2PRJ.
Okay. Is there anybody that has anything else? Any comments, questions, anything for the net? Okay, 2ZC. Go ahead. K2ZC.
Noel, would you happen to know the frequencies that Gordon's going to use at the Ramapo rally? I want to program my HT. I'm going to be riding the 50-mile route.
No, unfortunately, I do not text him.
Yeah, okay. I already sent him an email, so I'll probably hear from him before then. Okay, thank you. This is K2ZC Clear.
I myself am going up to state tomorrow, and I'll be at the Cuca Radio Club Flea Market in Hornell, New York, which is coming on Saturday. It's a radio club up there, stationed about 25 miles or so, 28 miles from the house I have. It's the first time I'm going to meet anybody. The radio club that was in the immediate area seems to be defunct. It's really hard to get a radio club up and running and doing things, because there are more cows than people, more pigs than people, and more chickens than people in that county. Okay, does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything for the net? Okay, well, I'll say thank you to everybody for attending. Again, I'll thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. This is N2OEL operating as K2BAR, officially closing the Barra TechNet and returning to